Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to your daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Psalms, Psalm 61, verses 1 through 5 and verse 8. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So I will sing to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. And Christ Jesus, who hears the vows of his believers and sends the Holy Spirit into the hearts of those believers that they are strengthened and able to fulfill those vows, dear fellow redeemed. In World War II, few people knew better what it meant to stand in the shelter of a rock. And the soldiers who were defending the island of Malta in 1941. From the safe ledges of their rock-built caverns, they watched day after day, safe and secure, as the bombing, fighting, chaos, and confusion swirled all around them, below them. Outside the rock, there was danger and certain death. But inside those rock-sheltered ledges, they were safe and secure. What a beautiful illustration of the child of God who clings to the rock, who lives within his rock. The rock, of course, Jesus Christ and his word. This morning, we have chosen our theme for your confirmation, Liam, a Christian soldier's confession. King David wrote this psalm apparently when he was in great distress. We read, Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The psalm may have been written when David was fleeing Jerusalem, when his son Absalom tried to overthrow him. David was a soldier on the run. And even though he was outnumbered, yet his trust and his confidence was in the Lord, the rock that is higher than he. David often used this picture of the Lord being his rock. In Psalm 18 we read, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. In Psalm 31, David wrote, Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. And again in Psalm 62, David writes, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Our Lord Jesus is the rock that is mightier than we are, that is higher than we are. And that means that He is the rock that is greater than anything here on this earth. Any of the shifting sands of temporal things that we sometimes rely upon or trust in. And Jesus is the Word, and His Word is the rock to which, Liam, you are clinging to today and will need to cling to the rest of your life. David renounces all trust in himself when he says, You are the rock that is higher than I. Isn't that amazing? Here's the powerful, mighty king of Israel, David, ruling this pretty powerful nation. And he's saying, I can't rely upon my soldiers. I can't rely upon my horses. I can't rely upon my power. I can't rely upon myself. I need to rely upon the rock. The rock that I relied upon in the past will continue to protect me and defend me through my future days. And Liam, that's your confidence as well. As you are now embarking upon your calling as a mature Christian soldier for the Lord, your confession must be the same admission of David. I am weak. You, my Lord, my rock, are strong. I'm a sinner. You, my Lord, my rock, are the Savior from all my sins. You know, Liam, for the next 2 years, and throughout your lifetime, but especially the next 2 years, Satan, the sinful world, and your own sinful flesh will be throwing all their temptations that they can at you. You're leaving the relative security of childhood, junior high school, into young adulthood. As a Christian teenager, you'll be in the minority in this world. You'll also be the front line of the battle. You'll be in the trenches, wherever you might be. Might be at school, maybe just hanging out with your friends, at a party, maybe your summer job, at home. Satan is relentless. He never stops. He never tires. He never gives in. And by yourself, you'd be easy prey. You'd be like a soldier without any weapons. A soldier fatigued and famished against an enemy with every weapon imaginable. And make no mistake about it, Liam, Satan's war plan for you is not only to capture you, but to destroy you spiritually. Sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? But you have the greatest defense. You get the greatest weapon. You've got Jesus Christ and His Word. You've got the rock that is higher than you are. The rock that is stronger than you are. And this rock, Jesus says to you, Liam, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. And sometimes, too often we think of our religion and Christianity and our faith life as something abstract. We think of it as a set of commandments or passages to be memorized or a list of doctrines that we read. Very often people think of Christianity as what we saw this morning, an examination of memorized answers and recited words. Nothing could be further from the truth. At the heart and core of our faith, of Christianity, of this religion, is a blessed reality. A reality that gives meaning to your life and to mine. The heart and core, of course, is Jesus Christ. He's the real Savior who came into this world to take your place, Liam. The real Savior who came to live a perfect life for you in thought, word, and deed. The real Savior who really went to the cross to suffer and die and pay for the punishment and guilt of all of your sins and be damned for your soul. The real Savior that rose from the dead. And as you said, that means He then tells you, you can arise. Your sins are forgiven. He is who He said He was. He is God. The real Savior who ascended to heaven and now rules over your life, intercedes for you, and preparing a place for you. The real Savior throughout your life so far has given you untold number of blessings and peace and forgiveness, so that not only do you have a blessed life here on this earth, but you look forward to everlasting life with Him forever. All this is yours. All free. You've learned this because the Lord has given you a wonderful heritage. David wrote in verses 5 and 8 of our text, "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. In a few moments, Liam, you'll be coming up here before the Lord's altar, and you're making the most important promises a person can make in this life. You're making vows and promises you'll be faithful to your Lord and Savior until death. Faithful to hear His word. You make a promise that you'll remain in the Christian faith and in the church, even if it means death, with the help of God and by the grace of God. How do you make those promises? David says, because the heritage of those who know the Lord Jesus has been passed on down to you. You spent the last 3 years in an in-depth study of God's word, of God's great love for you, as seen in Christ Jesus. What a blessed heritage you've been given. Far greater than any earthly gift, which at its best could last maybe for a lifetime, you've been given a gift of faith, forgiveness, salvation, and these gifts all lead to an eternity of life with Jesus. What greater gift, what greater heritage could your parents have given to you than to teach you about Jesus Christ? And have you come to church here and have Sunday school and have you been instructed here at Peace Through Christ? The Lord has indeed given you an everlasting heritage. And when David realized that, it's no wonder that he's saying in this psalm here that he wanted to abide in the Lord's tabernacle forever. He wanted to sing praises of the Lord's name forever and to daily perform his vows. And that's your desire today too. Today, you'll be promising to remain a faithful hearer of God's word. Today, you'll be promising to partake of the Lord's Supper frequently, as often as it is celebrated, for the strengthening of your faith. Today, you'll be promising you're going to proclaim the name of your Savior, Jesus, daily in your life as you perform your vows, not just today, but in whatever walk of life you choose. But the big question is, Liam, will that be your desire tomorrow? Or next year? Or 4 years from now, when you graduate from high school? Or when you begin your career? Or when you get busy with your marriage or your family? It'll be if and only if you make that heritage that has been given to you, that word of God, your daily guide. And it's really now up to you to feed yourself spiritual food. The good spiritual food of the world, of the word. Not the junk food of the world. You know, man's philosophy, materialism, getting more and more things, humanism. Junk food that can only lead to spiritual death and keep you starving, never filling you. Now it's up to you to continue to eat the spiritual food of God's word. This is so very serious. In fact, it's the most serious thing in your life, Liam. More serious than you can probably even realize at your young age right now. You'll be standing here before God's altar, making a promise that many, many young people have made, to be faithful to the Lord and Savior. Unfortunately, many who made those promises have let their fingers slip from clinging to that rock of ages, lost sight of that heritage of God's word, and are no longer true to their promises. Those who have remained true to that promise have done so because the Holy Spirit has filled their heart with that great heritage of His word, with that desire to abide in the Lord's tabernacle, to be in His presence, to stand in His powerful word forever. Sometime back I read about a technique that some hunters used to catch monkeys in the woods, the forest. They would get a coconut, drill a hole in it, and put some food inside the coconut, and then chain it to a tree. The hole would be big enough for the monkey to put his hand in, but small so that when he grabs the food, he couldn't get his hand back out. And the monkey then would be caught to the coconut, chained to the tree. He didn't want to let go of the food, but he's stuck. He's bondage to the coconut. And so the hunters would come, and those foolish monkeys who wouldn't let go of the food were captured. Those who didn't pull their hand out could run away. It's a good picture of what Satan does for us too. He's got coconuts laying all over this world of temptations, allurements. He's put enticing things inside of those coconuts. Your freedom to be what you want to be. Freedom to disobey your parents. To rebel against society. Sexual immorality. Fornication. Living together outside of marriage. Being divorced. Gambling. Cursing. Swearing. Whatever sin it may be. There's coconuts out there and you reach in and you grab that alluring temptation and you think, I am really free. But you're chained to the coconut of sin and temptation. And then the guilt comes. And Satan has his way with you. Only when we let go and release those sins, look to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation, we're really safe and free. As Adam's children, we do enjoy self-indulgence and self-pity. So God says, guard your heart and guard your mind. When a temptation comes and beckons you to indulge yourself, look to Jesus. Look to His Word. And the Holy Spirit, the Word, will strengthen you. You have a choice. You know, a believing child in God. He has created faith in your heart for you to choose to live for Christ, or your old Adam to choose to be self-indulgent and give into your sinful desires. All of us have been called to faith in Christ Jesus, have been called to be Christian soldiers, soldiers for Christ. We've been called to carry the banner of Christ's crucifixion, Christ's resurrection to all the world, to declare before all the world exactly what we know, that we are lost and condemned sinners. No one gets to heaven by themselves. To declare that God the Father loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world to take our place. To be the Savior that did what we couldn't do, lived a perfect life, paid what we should have paid, the guilt and punishment for our sins by His damnation, and then rose again to assure us of resurrection to eternal life. That same Savior is our rock. The rock to whom we live, to whom we cling, and in whom we live. And like David, we too are far away from our home, our real home in heaven that God's prepared for us. Therefore, as Christian soldiers, we must confess this too. The Lord is the rock that is higher than I. The Lord has given me a wonderful heritage, His Word, and I long to dwell in His tabernacle, not just today, but forever. May God grant this to you, Liam, and to all of us who confess faith in His name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.